Bob Kane's DC comic book Batman has had a long evolution since Kane created the character in 1939. In the 60s, it inspired the campy TV series. Then Frank Miller embraced a more nihilistic vision of urban justice in his graphic novel, The Dark Knight. In the late 80s, Tim Burton reinvented the saga, but it sputtered out after two sequels by director Joel Schumacher. The series was reborn in Batman Begins under director Christopher Nolan, best known for the film Memento. His sequel, The Dark Knight, stars Christian Bale as Batman, along with Aaron Eckhart, Maggie Gyllenhaal, and the late Heath Ledger as the Joker. Film critic David Edelstein has this review.
Before I talk about The Dark Knight, I should say I've been pilloried on the internet for publishing a negative review, with most of the pillorying from people who hadn't seen the movie. They'll probably love it when they do. They've invested a lot of emotional energy in it. Other critics have called it a crime epic worthy of comparison to The Godfather Part II and Michael Mann's Heat. And while it's not fair to judge a film against hype its makers didn't create, it's a measure of how high the director and co-writer Christopher Nolan aims. The Dark Knight is an impressive flight, huge in scope, nothing less than a blood-drenched allegory. In Nolan's predecessor, Batman Begins, Christian Bale's Bruce Wayne grappled with the classic urban vigilante conundrum. How, in a corrupt society, can you go outside the law to enforce the law and also maintain social harmony? Here, Bruce starts out regarding himself as beyond rules, as he announces to Michael Caine's Alfred the Butler. Talk about high-priced help.
More copycats last night, Alfred, with guns.
Why don't you hire them and take the weekend off?
That wasn't exactly what I had in mind when I said I wanted to inspire people.
I know. But things have improved. Look at the new district attorney.
I am closely. Need to know if you can be trusted.
I trust you don't have me followed on my day off.
If you ever took one, I might.
Know your limits, Master Wayne.
Batman has no limits.
Well, you do, sir.
Well, can't afford to know him.
And what's going to happen on the day that you find out?
We all know how much you like to say, I told you so.
On that day, Master Wayne, even I won't want to.
Probably.
Batman has a counterforce, the Joker, played, as everyone knows, by the late Heath Ledger. He functions as a terrorist, a one-man insurgency, with no motivation except bringing chaos.
This town deserves a better class of criminal, and I'm going to give it to them. Tell your men they work for me now. This is my city.
It won't work.
Why don't we cut you up into little pieces and feed you to your pooches? And then we'll see how loyal a hungry dog really is. It's not about money. It's about sending a message.
The Joker manipulates gangsters to keep crime alive and assassinates or corrupts do-gooders like Aaron Eckhart's cleft-chin district attorney, Harvey Dent. Meanwhile, Batman's hands, or wings, are tied by pesky ethics. He can't stanch the madness. On paper, this morality play is fascinating, but a lot of the movie doesn't transcend its talking points. The psychological twists are dubious, and the plotting herky-jerky with leaps in logic. The Dark Knight plays as if it were written by Oxford philosophy majors trying to tone up American pop. Maybe that wouldn't matter if the action weren't spectacularly incoherent. I defy you to make spatial sense of a truck, bat tank, police car chase, or the climax with Batman, the Joker, hostages, SWAT teams, fake Batman, and Morgan Freeman on some kind of sonar monitoring gizmo. The movie is really bleak, but that's not a criticism. Batman should be dark. But it doesn't need to be so sadistic to work you over so crudely from scene to scene. The Dark Knight has no wit, visual or otherwise. It doesn't achieve what Tim Burton's Batman, for all its screw-ups, did, creating a gothic urban landscape that was a breathtaking correlative for Batman's inner world. Nolan sets it in the real world, and while it's shocking and effective to see the Joker's opening heist pitched like Michael Mann, the novelty of the realism wears off. Even the most wondrous visions, Batman's plunges from skyscrapers, Batwing snapping open, unbelievably cool in IMAX, can't keep the movie airborne. Bale is entertaining. His Batman rasps his lines in a voice that's deeper and hammier than ever, and the others are fine, but never mind them. Everyone wants to know about Heath Ledger. His Joker is a psychopath, a clown demon with smudged grease paint who bugs his eyes and licks at the gashes extending his mouth. First he sounds like Cagney in White Heat, then throws in Brando flourishes. He's scary, fast with sharp objects, but apart from a gruesome bit with a pencil, not terribly prankish. This is rave and rage and purge acting. Ledger works so very hard to fill the screen that he's both riveting and exhausting to watch. He's the first Joker who doesn't look like he's having fun. And it's contagious.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine.